Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Hey, before we begin the episode, I just wanted to announce that 5GMs will be donating 100% of our merch profits to a local charity that supports immigrants starting today. Each month, we'll announce on our socials which charity we'll be donating to. If you've been eyeing a new hat for the summer or a new hoodie to keep you warm, now your purchase will go to a good cause. You can visit the number 5gmsinatrenchcoat.bigcartel.com today to make your purchase. Thank you. This season of 5GMs in a Trench Coat deals with themes of loneliness, loss, the paranormal, growing older, confrontation, parental pressures, reconciliation, teenage shenanigans, allusions to being people of color in the 80s, and hope. Listener discretion is advised.
Everybody, and welcome to 5GMs from Inside the Tent. I'm Adam, our GM. I'm going to be honest, we haven't recorded in a while, but you guys wouldn't know that because we record so far in advance. On my left is...
Hey, I'm Jesse.
And who are you playing?
I play Zeke.
I play Hubby.
I'm going to kill you later for that in editing. I'm going to be like, Taylan, why would you do that to me?
I can do it again. Hey, I'm Taylan.
Just as
bad. I play Hubby.
That was somehow worse.
Yeah.
And I'm Taylan, and I'm playing... Hobby.
I'm sorry.
That one was my favorite. All right, Kim.
Shit. Hi, I'm Kim. I play Clem.
Again, we haven't recorded in a bit of time, and so that would explain our exuberant energy here. But the crew in world is not as exuberant in this moment, as they have just faced a large amount of emotional strife and
We're so down, but also up right now, guys.
Baggage.
Friendship is magic.
You're all fleeing the Pandemonium Hotel.
Yeah.
I believe you made it outside.
Yeah, we're outside.
It is nighttime.
And it's cold.
It's cold. It's Colorado.
Shit.
As you wait there, you hear the familiar horn, a horn you've honked many a time, Zeke, of the last unicorn.
I run.
Yeah, as you run, it like pulls up to the curb, and the mechanic you would work with hops out. He's like, "Oh, hey! Zeke, right?"
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so you guys, I made some calls. I called around. They found this like halfway across the state. I just had a couple of buddies. You know, I know a good amount of the mechanics in the area. We just kind of drove it down and down and down. I filled her up for you. I did a little bit of tune-up work. I know you were saying that it wasn't running the last time you left, like you couldn't get it started. It didn't seem like it had any problems. I mean, I changed the oil. I checked everything up. There was no issues with it. But yeah, overall, I think we're okay. If we can square this away at like $70 just for the transporting fee, I swapped out your oil. I filled the tank up. I think we'll be cool. We'll be good to go.
I have 70.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. How was the Pandemonium Hotel? I heard that if you sleepwalk, you go missing. I've never stayed myself. I grew up in the area. I don't really need to stay at the hotels.
Yeah, no, uneventful, you know.
All right. That's a normal way to react to someone asking you a question. I wish I could say it's been a delight, but you were kind of rude to me. I'm going to go ahead and walk back to the mechanic shop. thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for this moment.
As he's walking away, I'm going to go to them and be like, this guy wants us to go to him so bad and invite him. Look at him walking like that.
I don't think he
does. Because why would he go through all this trouble to help us out?
Because you asked.
He wants to be on our crew so bad.
We paid him for it. It kind of was his job.
But look at him just walking. He wants us to stop him.
He's just walking, though.
No, but he wants
walking,
us to stop
speed
him.
Walking.
Yeah,
I think he might be running.
No, he's just nervous. It's all nerves. So let's like not go the same way he's going. I feel like it'd be awkward if we drove past him because he's gonna look at us with his big eyes and we're gonna fall apart and have him join our crew. And I feel like
Zeke, do you
want to
be
cool.
friends with that guy?
No, I don't.
I don't know. It sounds like you kind of do.
It really does.
I can't. No, I can't lie.
He's weird.
Why did you talk about his big eyes like that?
Yeah, what's going on there?
No. Look, I feel like I'm the guy who makes sure the van is good, and I don't think we need two guys to make sure that the van is good, you know?
All right, buddy.
Okay.
Okay, my friends. We all get in the van. Yeah. Who's where?
I'm driving. I need to make sure that she's running good.
Yeah, she turns over perfectly. She even sounds better than before. I mean, you just got a fresh oil change. Your tank is full. You can tell he leveled everything out. Mm-hmm. Really just kind of hit the notes, the dotted I's, crossed T's, things like that.
I look at him longingly as he runs off, and then I shake my head.
Oh, Zeke. You could have had a friend, bud.
Mm-hmm. I think I go for back middle seat to, like, poke my head up into the front seat.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll be in the passenger.
Perfect. We haven't got to do this in a while on mic. Let's go ahead and roll for state. So currently we're in Colorado. So you're going to go and roll your D4. We'll re-roll on fours. Nebraska, Kansas, or Oklahoma.
Who wants to roll a D4?
Can I roll my this
Yeah.
one? And what does that say?
Two.
Looks like we are going to Kansas. I'll say this. Colorado into Kansas is very close to kind of just a straight shot.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
You just sort of get to ride along the I-70. It's, I think, somber at first. You had that little bit of, like, funny as Zeke was longing to be friends with that mechanic. Zeke has no mechanic friends. The only other mechanic Zeke works with is his dad. Yeah. So,
mm-hmm.
And now you're in this somber drive. It's all out in the open now, and it's better, but it's working to be better.
But we're also all teenagers.
Yeah, you're also all teenagers, so surely that's being handled super healthily and super well. Mm-hmm. I think we just sit here for a moment. What does everyone do as the car's driving? Like, pretty much for the bulk of this, which is driving, what is it that you do with your body? How do you fidget? How do you exist in the space? And I'm going to start with Javi. How do you exist in the space in this van while it drives?
You know, he's one of those really high active sort of fidgeters, mm-hmm. just like bouncing and just kind of like scooting one seat, looking out the window, scooting the other seat, looking out the window, patting his legs, trying to think of when's a good time to bring up this note that keeps popping back up in his pocket, mm-hmm. if he should open it, if he should tell his friends about what he thought he saw in it, if that's even, like, appropriate, because it's kind of, like, it's home life, but he did say, like, I want to, like, work through things with y'all and, like, be friends again, but, like, it's just kind of awkward. That's just kind of awkward. I don't know. And that's where he's at.
Yeah. Clem.
I think it's a lot of, like, right now, especially since, like, we're starting to go off. I think she's a little sleepy as she just slept walk a whole hotel. And I think she's just, like, during this drive, trying to, like, figure out what next. Because we're in the middle now, which is, like, mm-hmm. quote-unquote halfway
yeah.
to MIT. And I think she's a little stressed out about that because it's, like, an impending thing that's coming closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, summer is moving, meaning she's getting closer to doing that. And, like, she's excited, but it's also terrifying.
Right.
So I think she's kind of, like, picking at her fingernails a bunch and stuff like that, and just kind of like randomly doing that thing where she opens her backpack and like checks to make sure everything's in there and then closes it, and it's like, okay, that's fine. And it's like, oh wait, did I leave this somewhere? Open it again, and that sort of thing. So I think she's just kind of like figuring it out, and then she hears Javi moving back and forth in the back, and it's like, Javi, what are you doing?
I was just looking out the window.
You just looked out that window.
Yeah, but we're moving, so, like, there's new things in the window.
There's another cow.
I like cows.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you two continue with that. Zeke, you do the bulk of, if not all of, the driving, and how do you exist in the space while you drive?
I'm mostly listening to the van, like making sure it's not making any weird noises.
Yeah, especially after a random breakdown.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm more focused on the van itself, just like listening in, making sure there's no, like, nothing smells like it's burning, nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no weird smells or weird sounds, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, more focused on the van.
Yeah, again, it had rolled a little later into the day. It was nighttime when you guys ran outside. It wasn't like late night. It was probably like 6:30, 7 p.m. And at this point, you've probably been on the road for maybe an hour, 2 hours now. So it's winding into the later portions of the evening, approaching the a.m., right? And as you drive along the straight path, it's dark. Like, that's just a given. Especially a lot of these, like, long highways don't really have much lighting. Especially in the middle of America, there's plains and fields, and that's what we're going to see. As you drive, a thick fog kind of falls over. It does get substantially more difficult to see ahead of you. How do you handle that kind of, like, change in terrain functionally as a driver?
I think I'm just kind of going slow because I'm in a place that I don't really know.
You kind of bring the van down to a slow. And are you an anxious driver? Like, when something like this happens, like, do you start to be like, oh, man, like, start to feel, like, you know, tingly?
I think he is because they came from a mountain town. So I think specifically fog probably isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
To me. I think it's more that it's fog in an unfamiliar place.
Yeah,
more
absolutely. You start to, again, feel that bit of anxiety, and this is not, like, abject terror like you've experienced in this adventure this far. It's more just like, man, like, it's a little iffy here, it's a little off, it's hard for me to see, and it's more anxiety over, like, the fact that I am driving and can't see very well. Clem and Javi, you both feel the anxiety, not in, like, a palpable, like, physical, oh my god, he's so nervous kind of way, but just like, oh, like, Zeke's gotten a little quiet.
Mm.
How do you handle that?
Well, you can barely see out the window.
Why would you say that?
I don't know.
Do we want to, like, pull off and, like, stop right now on this ride, or?
We don't know, because it's like 6 o'clock. It's in the evening, right?
It's like 8, 9:30.
Okay,
like it's late in the evening.
Yeah, no, I think maybe pushing forward might be the play. I don't.
Maybe there's somewhere nearby.
Where's the map? Hold on, and then I pull out the map and see where we're kind of, like, project where we are, I guess.
Yeah, so you're going down just straight through a highway. There would be, like, some pull-off rest stops. Rest stops, notoriously not the best place to pull off to sleep. Doable, it's just not ideal. And then there would also be some, like, if you hop off the interstate and you kind of go into, like, a smaller town, there would be, like, motels there and things like that. The nearest thing is probably within, like, 30 miles, though. So you still got a bit of ways to go.
Okay, so we could either pull off to any of these, like, little rest stops, but there's, like, it's a rest stop, you know? Or we can go into small towns, but those are farther. So, honestly, either way, we still have to drive.
Well, you're driving.
I think we should at least make it to the rest stop. Maybe we'll go to the rest stop and then kind of decide from there.
Okay. Yeah, as long as we're not on the road anymore, I think, for right now. So, yeah, and then I point to the closest rest stop for us to go to.
Perfect, yeah. So you drive a bit longer. Your friends have kind of soothed you there. Zeke, you're at a moment in conversation, talking with your friends just about this and that. And then in another, you realize your friends have both completely fallen asleep. It's late, you know. The sleepwalking was restless, so they're both probably exhausted. You drive in this silence for a while, and you start to hear, like, yipping. Like little yips from outside. Out in the fog, you see, like, two kind of red orbs low and off to the side of the road kind of float, and like a bit of like the red almost trails behind them as they move. And then off to the right hand side, you see the same thing. And then on the left, you see another pair of kind of little orbs. It almost feels like they're moving along with your car or your van.
Huh, that's weird.
Just keep driving?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep driving.
Yeah. You do that for a bit, and at a point, one of them kind of runs across, not super far ahead, but not so close that you have to slam on the brakes. And it's just this larger than like a regular big dog. There's just this all black dog with these like kind of like jolting red eyes, and it runs across, and you still see the eyes kind of just around you. It doesn't feel bad. Like you're not like, you don't feel like you're in danger by these dogs. They're just sort of running around the highway at the moment as you again kind of drive slowly through this fog.
I might pick up the pace a little bit. You know, yeah. Just a little.
You start to speed up a little bit.
I don't know if they're like wolves or something. You know.
you hit a speed where they're not keeping pace with the van anymore. You kind of hear the yips falling behind.
Man wins again.
And you drive again in silence. You kind of click through the radio. Just a lot of static at the moment, trying to find a song to fill the sound. As I think you probably find like a rock station that... settles you down a bit. It's like right after, and I think there's the irony in this that Zeke recognized, but it's right after like a prayer worship station. So you go from like prayer worship station into like a 70s rock station. So you're kind of sitting there, and as that rock music swells and fills the area, I think we almost see it as if following the sound from inside the van, it goes outside. And we kind of can hear it lightly from outside, the way you could hear the yipping from inside. And then it comes back around through the other window. And it almost, if we were a camera or a bird's eye view, we see the sound itself go into Amanda's ear. And Amanda, what... here, and it's not a dream, I think, but it's like you're that soft, that first layer of a sleep. What are you thinking about? It's deep thought. It's not quite a dream.
I think it's that like first layer of thought of like, man, I didn't realize I was so sleepy. Like, I knew I was tired, but I didn't realize I was so incredibly sleepy. And then I think there's that also like that really underlying part of like, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
But it's so quiet that like it doesn't quite come up to like the prominent layer of thought.
Absolutely.
But it's that small thing, like, I'm asleep again. Oh god, nothing good happens while I'm asleep. And then just being like, I hope Zeke's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know he was a little nervous about the fog, but again, I didn't realize I was so sleepy. But he's got it. He drives the last unicorn all the time, and he's been driving this whole time. He'll be fine.
Amanda, Clem, what's a song or a melody or something that your mom or your dad used to hum a lot?
I feel like they were into a lot of like oldies, like jazz or something like that.
Okay.
Honestly, I think my dad listened to a lot like Frank Sinatra.
You're kind of in this soft dream, pre-dream area.
Mm-hmm.
And you just faintly in the distance hear a bit of just the tunes of Frank Sinatra, not the singing, but the notes that are made by the music that is Frank Sinatra music. You recognize a song and you sort of sit there in it.
I think it'd probably just be Fly Me to the Moon.
Okay.
Thinking about the guy my dad is.
Yeah. And so you just sort of hear it's almost like a hum of Fly Me to the Moon. And you're in that pre-dream area. Oh man, I'm asleep again. Nothing good happens when I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're standing. And it's just this, you're in space for a moment. It's just kind of like you're in a white, not even a room, just white. And then the space begins to fill in. And as it does, you see that you're in the road as the van is just a bit ahead of you. And it picks up speed, and you hear like the soft yipping, and you see these floating red orbs, as I described to Zeke earlier before. And then you hear the tunes, the tones of Frank Sinatra. Suddenly, the van has gone too far from you, and you feel like you're just getting pulled behind it. Not in a violent way,
mm-hmm.
but just sort of like you're tethered to it, like you're a mm-hmm. balloon and a child's carrying you. And you just start, and you kind of lift up, and now you're just sort of bird's eye view over the van. And anything else, what do you want to do?
Because I'm like, oh, great. What did I just think? I'm going to see if I can move.
Yeah, absolutely. Your fingers move, your hands move, your toes move.
Like swatting at the air.
Yeah. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish with swatting the air? What's your thought process?
Thought process. Okay, I can move. Like, can I make big movements?
Yeah, you move your arms. You have full autonomy of your
can
body.
Can I swim towards the van?
Yeah. You begin swimming towards the air. Yeah. And it moves you forward as if you were swimming in water.
Can I get up to the van?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can
it takes you a second, but yeah.
Touch it?
Yeah, you touch it then. You grab onto it.
Does it feel like I'm touching?
Almost. It's just off. Like it's
yeah.
Yeah, it's just off just a little bit. It feels so like right now when you touch this table, mm-hmm. you feel the table.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were just a little bit further away.
Oh, so it's like I could feel like the shape of the table.
Yeah, like you're touching the table, it's as if your senses aren't picking it up 100%. You've touched this van a million times. And so as you grab onto it, you're feeling the memory of you having touched this van before in these places. You've, you know, grabbed onto the top to get in. And so you here are not physically feeling mm-hmm. the van. But as your body makes the motions to grab onto the van, you have the memories of touching the van. And so you know what it feels like. Just a little distant.
In the far reaches of the world, under a lost and lonely hill, lies the forgotten tomb of Corridors and all its many ills. This labyrinthine crypt filled with monsters, traps, and treasure seeks to destroy your mortal form and steal your soul forever. Originally called Tomb of Horrors, based off the original created in 1979, included in my version of Tomb of Corridors will be its own background information, a legend of the tomb as it relates to the land of Hyrenor, and quite a few unserious hijinks. I'm Amelia Somm, and I will be your dungeon master. Embarking within the tomb, we also have
Haley as the Queen's Ravens,
Stella Jo as the Sacrificial Sisters of Alpha Kappa Mori,
Cyrus as a lesbian who keeps coming back wrong.
New episodes release on Mondays, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romance novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I, Kim, am a really big movie lover, and I've recently gotten back into reading, so I just finished Project Hail Mary, and I really enjoyed their piece about how we've been getting first contact all wrong, and their piece on how HopeCore seems to be the future for sci-fi, especially with the vibe of Project Hail Mary and Superman last year. Hope is punk. So, join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing to bit.ly/WBCManySided, or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
So you're on the van.
Yeah, I don't like this. Yeah, I guess I'll just like stay hanging on to the van for right now. And then I'll just kind of like look around on the outside, I guess. Just around.
Hey, you look around. I mean, the yipping is in the distance now. Zeke's picked up a little bit of speed. You see those kind of glowing eyes just floating in the distance. You hear the rock music coming from inside of the van.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear it a little bit further away.
In a
way, like it's odd. And then you still softly hear the hum mm-hmm. of Fly Me to the Moon.
Can I try to make a brains or something to figure out, like, what's going on in this out-of-body experience? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not sleepwalking. Well, that's a solid 5.
You've been put here. Not like, oh, you're cursed, but like,
yeah.
You didn't choose to end up here, and this wasn't like an accident. Like, you very quickly, Clem is smart enough to be like, like, this just lines up so well with a bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah. Like, it's weird that I was like in that before sleep, and then that ended, and now I'm here.
Yep.
I guess with that, I'll see if I can like let go and see if I float. Like tethered balloon style again.
You go up a bit and then you kind of pull and now you're just floating in the air again. You're like a kite and you're just getting yanked by the van.
Mm-hmm. Are the thingies still, the little orbs still around the van, or are they farther away?
They're
now
much further back, but you still hear like the bits of yipping. I think you would even at point see that there are these large dogs that like run across. They're just large, completely black dogs.
But they don't seem to be getting closer.
No, they're not even chasing after you guys.
Okay, so they're just kind of.
They were running alongside the van, but even you felt it. It didn't feel malevolent. Like they were just running around.
Is there fog?
Yeah, lots of fog.
Can I see ahead at all?
Hardly.
I guess I'll just go back to the van then and see if I can look inside.
Yeah, you go back to the van. You look inside. You see yourself asleep. You see Zeke driving, sort of just like you see Zeke noticing that his friends are like completely asleep. And then you look over to Javi, and from there we're going to take a quick moment to hear the rock music in your ears from the outside and then watch it move across the other side and go into the van. And again, if we were a camera, we're going to go into Javi's ears and kind of experience Javi's dream here for a moment, or pre-dream maybe. How fast does Javi fall asleep?
Dude, he's like... That's how he falls asleep. Oh, yeah. I think on mic, that's how it is. Yeah.
It is. What is Javi dreaming about? Is it a nightmare? Is it a dream? Like, what's going on with Javi?
I think he experienced enough nightmare.
I would agree.
Already, I think this dream is the lightest dream he's had since going on this trip. Honestly, since before going on this trip.
Right. Javi, this dream is not fully a dream in the way that it's a lot of partial memory. What's been your favorite thing on this trip thus far?
Just all the diners we've gone to together.
Yeah.
I think that's...
I want you to walk me through the favorite things you've had at multiple diners. So it's like this one diner had the best pancakes. Why don't you tell me about that?
So this is how I see it, right? We're on the hike, right? He's running up ahead and he's in a diner. And it's like, it's the Bigfoot diner.
Uh-huh.
And he's like looking around, looking at the shirt that he got. And then the big pancakes are in front of him. He's taking a bite. And then it's the like a big platter of something else. And he's like,
I think it cuts to like biscuits and gravy. Yeah, now that you're like middle America, eating that.
Yes. And then he gets up, he goes to the bathroom, he's in another diner.
Yeah. No, yeah, and so we watch you kind of jump through these diners. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not jumping, it's in motion, right? You take a bite, like, oh, it's delicious. As you put your fork down to grab another bite, instead of pork sausage, it's now potatoes gratin, or, you know, things like that. And so your food is swapping around as you've been to countless diners on this trip. I think at one point it cuts to, like, just the inside of the van with, like, the AC running, and you guys are like, ugh, sticky, and you just have like a can of tuna and then like eggs that you can see you like probably scrambled over like the little like small propane heater that Zeke keeps on him, and so like you guys are just eating like tuna and eggs one morning, just like
it's a rough one.
No diners around here. And so that's what you're dreaming. And as you do these things, you jump through these things, Zeke and Clem are with you here in this moment. And then we'll kind of cut back out to Clem, who you're looking at all your friends. Again, you see you asleep. You see Javi asleep. You see Zeke just fucking, all right, okay, I can get there. Going a little faster than I think he'd like to in the fog.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, I don't want these things near us anymore.
Yeah, I don't like this. Okay. Is there anything that's like sticking out to me?
Just this little soft tune.
Can I go towards it?
Sure. It's in the van.
It's in the van?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go towards it in the van.
You like get inside the van. I mean, you're like, okay, how do I, and you go to like open the door and then you just like just kind of face through. Yeah. It's like it, I think in that moment you're like, oh, the intention of wanting to go in the van.
Yeah.
And he's like, into the van. You're in the back seat now, where Javi is, and you hear the soft like, Javi, you are at a diner, and then you hear like a needle drop, and a song begins playing. And Zeke had seen this before, but you see everyone freeze. And you're like, oh, like, this is, Zeke told me about this. What song's playing?
Baby, you gotta be mine. Baby, be mine.
Yeah. Baby, you gotta be mine. And so you kind of hear that, and everyone freezes for a moment. And then everyone breaks into, like, dance. And you're like, huh.
Wow.
So now, here in this moment, you hear one sound, and you're kind of looking around for it, and then you hear, bing, bing, it's gotta be mine. And then you hear the music playing over the radio, and so you're just picking up like three different songs now. And so you're like, okay, you know that song, the Michael Jackson song, is happening in the back of the van.
Okay.
So it's back here with you where you're at now. You're like, all right, that's closer to me. The other two songs are coming from the front of the van. What do you want to do?
This new one is tempting because it's new, you know? Well, she's an 18-year-old girl.
No, I get it.
It's shiny.
No, yeah, absolutely.
And I think her brain goes to, well, this new one showed up. And so, especially knowing likely Javi. If Javi's also here, like, why am I hearing these three?
Right.
And it's like, now Javi's here. And I think she's like, Javi's here. And then goes towards that sound.
Yeah, so you go towards the sound, and you're in a diner, and you see, and it's a diner that is like familiar-esque, and you see Javi like getting like spun around by some like diner like hunk cook.
I'm like, but I don't think she thinks anything of it. She's just like
Javi gets like spun around and then like dipped and then like flung off to like two other. You recognize
also
him
this
as, like,
is Dream, and so she's like fully like.
He's like in a full like suit, like pantsuit. Yeah. Like,
and so you get spun, dipped, and then spun again. And as you get spun again, you spin off and to like you again. Your brain is recognizing them, and I think in this moment you'll like. It's one of those things where you know in the dream you know, but when you wake up you're gonna completely forget.
Yeah.
But you're in the dream you're like, oh, they were people I recognized. Here you're like, these are parks workers we saw a couple weeks ago, and two parks workers like catch and dip Javi together, and then like fling Javi up like swing dance style.
Yeah.
And Javi, that's all happening, and then you see Clem, but not dressed as Clem was a moment ago in like sequins and like, but in Clem clothes and standing there like, like confused and like tilting her head around. Absorbing the moment.
I think his first thing is like to dance over. We missed the party.
She looks even more confused. She's like,
he's in a dream. You know?
What's happening?
And I think that's like,
yeah, the music's playing soft in the background now.
I don't know.
What are you wearing?
Just like kind of like, I don't know.
Javi, roll of brains.
Oh, what's my brains?
Eight. Roll again.
And a 2.
10. This is Amanda. This is not Dream Amanda. This is Amanda. And in your dreams.
What are you doing here?
I don't know. I heard Michael Jackson and I thought I'd come over.
I don't understand what's happening here.
I don't know. I was in the van and then I heard Michael Jackson and I went towards the sound because I thought it'd be you and I was right. But what's happening?
I've become fully aware I'm in dream.
Yeah. Pretty. You're aware in this moment. I can't guarantee you'll be aware when you wake up, you know?
Right. This is where I am. This is my dream.
Is this usually what you dream about?
No.
Okay.
Usually I don't really have dreams, actually. Or they're just, like, nightmares.
I see. I look around. We're in one of the diners, yeah?
Yeah, this is the one I think Zeke was talking about where everyone froze, but no one's frozen right here. Hey. Sorry. I'm still, like, I don't know.
It looked like fun.
Yeah, no,
whatever
yeah.
Whatever this was.
Yeah.
Brains are weird. Why are we here?
I don't know. I just, I liked it here.
Okay.
And I liked it the other places, and also hiking. I think. And that's why.
Okay.
Probably.
Likely.
I think.
Yeah.
Thinking more than usual. I don't know. In this moment.
Yeah.
Now that you're here again, I think that first off, the song, I think, is switched to a slower song. What are you hearing now? What's being played? And this is in the distance of the...
What is the most classic 80s slow dance prom night song? What is it? Total Eclipse of the Heart. He likes that one, for sure.
That's just far in the distance. And a song's playing.
Once upon a time, I was falling.
So you hear that playing, but you also still hear, and you hear this also in the distance. This is, and it almost sounds like it's from outside. Mm-hmm. Of wherever you are, right? And you're in a diner, and the song you're hearing from your dream is far away in the very back of the diner. And imagine if this diner was miles long. Mm-hmm. And then you hear from outside of this space just the soft hum of what you would recognize probably pretty quickly. Parents Like Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon. Mm-hmm.
Do I hear this new song?
Yeah, it's just swapped. It's the jukebox of Javi's mind changing.
Oh,
I think my first like knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, I'm gonna miss the slow dance, slow dance song of Homecoming. Like, oh shit. And then like I think he takes like a few steps that way and he's like, oh wait, like what? So what are we doing?
I don't know. I'm following sounds. There's songs that just keep showing up.
And they're playing my jam over there. Sorry.
Where?
Over yonder. Can't you hear
miles
it?
Miles away.
That's so far, but
it's Homecoming.
Really quick. Pull out of that scene for a moment, and we're in the van, and your song, it's you've gone through probably about two songs at this point, Jesse, and right now there's just a mean guitar riff hitting, and so as that as you're just sitting there just kind of jamming along, I'm like, man, my fucking friends are asleep. You hear like,
that's so far, but
it's Homecoming,
but it's like staticky and it's cutting through the guitar riff. And you hear Javi's voice, but not from behind you, but from the radio.
Oh, that's weird. I think I'm just going to try to like adjust the radio bit to make sure it's on the right station.
Yeah. So as you're adjusting it, one way it leans more music, but there's a pretty heavy amount of static. And then the other way the static dies down and you're hearing less music, but you're hearing what you can swear is your friends having a conversation.
Oh, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. Because I'm just going to be like, I'm assuming it's just like... happenstance that it sounds like them. So
entirely.
I'm like, I don't care about, we're in the middle of like Oklahoma. I don't care what they're talking about
on their
the radio.
Homecoming.
Yeah.
Click it back to your music, but you're still getting your heavy rock. You got to focus on driving, and we come back out to you guys again. You hear in the distance, the slow dance music. You both still hear the slight hum of Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon. And then in the distance, you hear the playing rock music of the van.
Well, I mean, if you want to go that way, we can.
I kind of do.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to hang out much Homecoming.
Well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. Well, let's
lead
go.
Lead the way.
You walk a bit, and it's like three steps, and you're in Homecoming. The building itself, you're inside of this large gymnasium. You stand there and Spellbound by Susie and the Banshees begins playing. Mm-hmm. And you kind of both stand in this moment, and there's nothing else here. And it's just this kind of conversation you haven't gotten to had yet, but also you still hear two other songs behind you in the distance, again, out of this area.
This is weird.
Yeah, it's a little wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Javi is just remembering all the things that happened that night and remembering them poorly, because Homecoming is like bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Like no one's dancing. Everyone's like awkward, like, you know that. But in his mind, like, this is the biggest rager of the time.
Yeah.
And like, I think everyone's like taller than him because he was younger back then.
Yeah, he was a sophomore hanging out with all the seniors because he got to suit for varsity.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's way hotter than they were back then.
Yeah.
Everyone's so much hotter than they were back then. And older, probably, too. And everyone's so straight.
I mean, I was just here for photos.
Oh, yeah, we didn't really get photos.
No.
You want to get a photo?
Sure. I mean, there's probably the line over there.
No, there's no line. I'm just kidding.
No, I think there's a silly moment where Javi says, no, there's no line. And then there's a bunch of people. Gone.
Well.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah.
Like a montage of photos.
Of incredibly awkward. Goofy. Yeah.
We cut to you guys taking these kind of bits of photos.
Mm-hmm. The photos that my mom would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You both, I think, store them in a place that only you can see, right? You stand here again. The music's playing. It lowers a bit. The song has changed in the van. It's a different rock song. It's different. Now, I think we're listening to some 60s, early, prog synth rock. We're still hearing that hum of Fly Me to the Moon. Amanda, you feel like a boom, and you're like, and you see as Amanda goes lighter for a moment, almost ethereal, mm-hmm. and then reconstitutes. You almost woke up.
Hmm.
Whoa.
Oh.
You got all... He's just, gesturing.
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe it's almost time to go, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. There's still more sounds out there.
Maybe we should just go check them out.
Yeah, might as well. We're here, right?
No, GM.
Yeah.
Do you remember the kind of car my dad had in the first episode? Do you have it?
I believe it was a Ford F-100.
Period. I think he's like, all right, let's go. And then it's kind of the muscle memory of me having left homecoming to go get in my dad's car. But this time Clem's with me this time. I don't forget this time. And that's all I got.
You both walk out. You get in this car.
Are we dressed in our homecoming clothes?
Yes, 100%. Dude.
Yeah,
yes.
Dude. Her frumpy purple dress with her teased hair.
My suit that I got a few months ago, but now are high watered on me because I grew a little bit. Yeah.
So you walk out. I think you open the door for Clem. Clem gets in. You run around to the other side, hop in. You're like, okay, start driving. You drive towards the sound. You hear it as well. It gets a little louder as you drive out of this area and then for a moment out of the other area, and you start to see this little light almost, and you recognize it. You're like, wait, is that the inside of the van? I see the inside of the van. And you're out and you're there for a moment, and you remember you're in your dream still. Clem's gone. You're remembering all of you this is a dream. Clem was just here. And another song starts playing, and you take a bite of pancakes, and you're back into your dream. Clem, you're out. Javi is not with you.
Aw, man. Do I still hear music?
Yeah. You hear whatever song is playing in the diner now for Javi. Make My Dreams Come True.
Yeah.
Coming from Javi's dream. Here, you still hear the light hum of Frank Sinatra, and the 60s rock song is coming to a close.
I guess I'll head towards the humming.
You go back towards your body. It's coming from a little bit past you. And this thing is, it's so soft. And you are in your body. A bump gets hit. You wake up.
Oh. Okay.
Zeke, you just... And you see Clem jolt awake.
God.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're okay. Did you hit something?
I mean, I think it's just this road is kind of shitty.
Oh, well, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you turn the music up a bit. Clem, you still almost feel it. It's not hearing it, but you feel it, and it's just in front of you. It's in the car.
In the car?
Just in front of you. Well, it's just in front of the passenger seat.
I'm like... The
you
glove,
reach for
the glove
you, compartment. Yeah, you pull down the glove compartment, and there's this small, little kind of music box that's cracked slightly open by imagine cardstock folded up to be a little extra thick, stuck in between it so it doesn't close and it doesn't stop the music box from making noise. And you kind of look at it, and the way this cardstock is folded is a type of, small origami that your mom likes to do. And I think it's something you never picked up.
Yeah.
But that your mom really enjoys doing. And it's folded and it's inside of this music box, propping it open, keeping the music playing. And you hear Javi behind you kind of giggling in his dream. Zeke, you see Clem open this up, and there's something that you didn't put in there, but I mean, you have fucking two other people who just aren't living in your van with you, and we're going to end the episode there.
So we got to cut back to when we left with the van and then have the mechanic guy just have one tear rolling down as we drive away.
Like, we cut back to the guy who's like, they should have taken me with them. And he presses a button and the fucking van explodes.
And we die.
Anyways, thank you for listening to 5 Gems and a Charge Code.
Bye-bye.
Trying to find
your monster puzzle.
No, you're right. You got me. Yeah, I didn't expect you to speed up the van
to drive slightly faster.
Yeah, I was like, whole plan. Oh my god! Yeah,
end the episode.
Yeah, like, cut.
A special thank you to Supriya Soup, Remy, Bad Heroes Podcast, Lee Carnell, Ink Master, Teresa Giacino, and Imagine If Media for making 5GM Season 5 from Inside the Tent happen.
Hey, thank you for listening to 5 Gems in a Trench Coat. Be sure to follow us on social media at 5 Gems in a Trench Coat on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok, and at 5 Gems Official on Blue Sky. You can also check out our website at 5gemsintrenchcoat.com. We're also on YouTube. Just search up 5 Gems in a Trench Coat to watch us play video games and other variety content. If you like the episode, please rate us 5 stars and leave a little comment. And if you'd like to support us further, you can leave a little tip on our Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/5gemsintrenchcoat. Thanks, and catch you in the next episode.